Good morning. Anybody miss the hour? Anybody want it back? I don't know if it's the hour that we missed or something, but we're a little out of gear this morning. I don't know. Anybody else feel just a little flat or too settled? Let's open our eyes. Breathe in the morning. Put ourselves into gear. This is not a performance, which means that the guy up here isn't, you know, to do some juggling act either with words or with prayer or with song or whatever. And it means that everybody else isn't just watching. We're not just watching. We pay tickets, go to the movie theaters, and watch. We pay tickets and go to the concerts, and we watch and listen. We pay tickets and go to the sports show, and we watch. We go to a classroom and sit and listen to the teacher. This is not that. This is a participation. This is a one another thing. You were just singing to one another. We pray together. We study together. And that requires all of us to be in gear. So if your mind's somewhere else, if you really, really, really miss that hour, if you're kicking yourself because you went to bed after 11, which is really after midnight, you know, that kind of thing, then breathe it in and let's put ourselves in gear that we can be part of one another and that we don't go home with any question as to what we were doing here. So we engage even during this time. Obviously, in half an hour when we stand up and start talking to one another, we're engaged in one another-isms. But right now, we belong to one another. We have several out. The prayers are already mentioned that Greg is taking off for a trip a few weeks. Antoinette is leaving for a couple of weeks. Greg's going to Africa, and Antoinette's going to visit Josie in Italy, which is exciting for both of them. We have a whole group in Texas with Camp Adventure, so be in prayer for them. A couple of others from around the state joined ours going from here, so Alaska is well represented again. A lot to be rejoicing over, a lot going on. Let's go to our Father in prayer before we get into His Word. Dear Lord, how much we need to be in gear with You, that we don't miss the opportunities, that we have our eyes wide open, our hearts soft. Father, we get so busy, we get so distracted, we get so determined to run our own days and our own lives and make our own decisions. We don't understand, Father. Please help us to be people who truly go into every day looking for Your will, that we don't go to the store, we don't get dressed in the morning, Father, without realizing that You have a purpose for us, and You have an attitude You want us to have, and a thought process You want us to carry, that Your word should be in our heart and on our lips. Please, Father, help us to do that now. Help us to be an encouraging congregation, that as we're going through these two services, we can grow, not shrink, grow in encouragement and in spiritual strength, not diminish, that we can be surprised by Your blessing while through this uncomfortable time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The elders, C.B., Dave, and I, are trying to look at what the two services are doing to us, because they are doing things. There are things that are not as encouraging. There are connections that aren't being made as well. There are a number of things that are happening better. There's a lot of things that are happening better. The participation of people, the mix going on. There's a lot of good things, but there are also a lot of struggles, and we're aware of that. So we're looking at making a couple of adjustments. One of the natural adjustments that sort of needs to be made anyway is the adjustment we make in the pattern of preaching. We have been doing, me doing two services, and then David Shipley doing two services, and then me doing two, and the opposite in the afternoon. In other words, David is speaking this afternoon, and next week I'm speaking this morning and next week morning. We're going to change that. It's not going to work when Lauren returns, and we absolutely want Lauren. So we'll probably go to a very normal and natural, the man who speaks in the morning, he in that lesson will also be that afternoon. So both services will get the same lesson within a single day. That will probably simplify everybody's expectation of who's speaking and what's going on. Most people don't go to both services, but some do, and that'll be a benefit in the simplifying thing. It'll be a distraction in that, it'll be the same lesson in one day. But no two lessons are the same. No two of my lessons are ever the same. But here's an example, and we're looking at other sensible things to do before we have a talk with the congregation on how to make this work after we've done this for a few months. We're going to talk about Matthew 25 and the parable of the 10 virgins. We're going to read that parable in just a moment, but the point of the parable is preparedness. We have a Boy Scout troop that meets here, and my middle son is getting more and more and more involved in it, and so Boy Scouting is more and more and more present in our home. You've probably seen Isaac in his uniform. And the Boy Scout motto is, be prepared. Be prepared. And, I introduced this lesson with the concept of running out of gas. Do you have a plastic gas can? Do you carry it with you at all times? Well, no, because I don't usually run out of gas. In Fairbanks, in the wintertime, when we lived up in Fairbanks, you never went away from your house in the winter without having a packed bag in the back with cold weather gear for every person in your family, for every part of their body. You had serious mittens, serious socks, extra covering of pants, jacket, headgear, just in case you went into a ditch somewhere, because at 30 below, you don't have a lot of time to recover from that sort of thing. And so that was just part of the thinking. And I did this lesson 2 weeks ago in the afternoon, thinking that, here we live in earthquake country, and I know full well what your home readiness setup is supposed to be. You're supposed to have a gallon of water per person per day of timing, and either you need 3 or 7 days of supplies, and you need the foods, and you need the whatever. And I was asking, why don't we do that? Why don't we? I don't have it. I know it. I've even gone through the list a few times. I've even intended on starting that, getting it ready, and not done it. I don't know what you did at Y2K at the end of 1999, whether you got any extra foods ready or any extra water ready. Everybody likes to say, oh, no, I wasn't worried about it. But at the time, a lot of people were worried about it. Like, what in the world's going to happen? And we laughed about it a little bit a few weeks ago. Thinking about earthquake preparedness is not very funny today. Why don't I do it? Why didn't I prepare? Why am I not truly prepared in that case of an emergency in my home? It's because there wasn't an earthquake yesterday, or the day before, or the day before, or the little ones, or the day before, or the day before that, or the day before that. And when the Big Lake Fire was here, which is another kind of problem we can have, it was down there. It didn't get up over here. And we're above the tsunami level, so a tsunami wouldn't bother us up here. And on and on and on it goes. It's because we've never experienced, or rarely have we experienced, the true disaster, the true danger of what can come. Because one of the things about a disaster is that when it hits, it's too late to prepare. When it hits, it's too late to prepare. You can't go change the batteries in the smoke alarm while the kitchen's on fire. It doesn't make any sense. When the power grid goes out and then you want to fill up your jugs of water for everybody, there's no pump working to pump the water to fill up the jugs. You can't prepare afterwards or during. You have to prepare ahead of time. So the context of Matthew 25 is in the question asked at the beginning of Matthew 24. And the question's asked, in verse 3, the disciples asked Jesus, "Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age." When will these things be, and what will show us that the sign is coming? Now, what are they asking? They're not asking the end of the age as in the end of all time. They're asking the end of the age as in what Jesus just said. Jesus just told them, do you not see all these things? Not one stone will be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. They pointed to the temple, and he said, it's not going to be there anymore. Now, when you get it in the other Gospels, I like this version, but when you get it in the other Gospels, he says it happens in this generation. So he just told them, in this generation, not one stone will be left on another in that temple. And they go, when's that going to happen? How do we know when that's coming? When is it happening? What are the signs? When is it happening? What are the signs? And that's the answer he gives in Matthew 24. We're not going to read Matthew 24. It's there. When he talks about the army surrounding the city, and it was the Roman army that surrounded the city of Jerusalem and ended up destroying the city and destroying the temple particularly. And after that, he transitions, and Jesus is continually teaching all the way through Matthew 24, all the way through Matthew 25, and he transitions the way he will. He doesn't just ask the question. He answers the question about Jerusalem and the end of that age, the end of the era of the covenant, the end of the nation of Israel as a religious entity. He answers that question, and then he keeps talking, and he keeps talking, and he starts talking about another judgment. That's a judgment. And by the way, every judgment in the Bible fits under the category of being a day of the Lord. We won't talk about that now either. But just because it says day of the Lord does not mean final judgment. Babylon had a day of the Lord. Assyria had a day of the Lord. A day of the Lord simply means a judgment from God, no matter when it happens. But he begins to transition to talk about the final judgment. And that's where the story of Matthew 25 comes in. "And then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. Go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterwards the other virgins also came, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open up to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" Now, before we do much analysis with this, Greg was talking about a Wednesday night class we had recently where the Isaiah verse was being talked about. And in that class, we did it a year ago, and we did it just a little bit a few weeks ago, and looked at Bible versions, looked at different versions of the Bible, and said, be careful for editors who want to do thought-for-thought translation rather than word-for-word translation. You may have, or you may see, or have around you, words in verse 3 that say, didn't take extra oil. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. That's what the Greek reads. They took no oil. And the New American Standard and the NIV and the New King James and the English Standard and the King James and the American Standard all say took no oil. But the Amplified Bible says did not take any extra oil. A contemporary English version says, but took no extra oil. The easy-to-read version says, did not take extra oil. The Good News translation says, but did not take extra oil. The Message Bible did not take extra oil. New Century versions did not take more oil. New English translation, extra olive oil. Extra oil for the New Living Translation. Today's English version did not take extra oil. There's a big difference between did not take oil and did not take extra. In one sense, you have some, and in the other sense, you have none. That's what I mean. It doesn't seem like a big deal, but it changes the analysis of this parable of Jesus, depending on what they had with them. You see, because these lamps that they're talking about, they're not the little clay lamps you would put on your nightstand at home. They're not the light that Jesus talked about putting your light under a bushel. They're not that. You're right. They're not that. These are the same lamps that are translated in John when they come to arrest Jesus in the garden. They translate the same word into torch. At that time, these are bright things. Either they're bowls in which you would fill up oil, like a large bowl, or a bowl is the wrong idea, but an open container that would be held on a pole, or they're the type of thing that would be impregnated with oil and then flaming because of the oil feeding it from the inside. However these lamps worked, there were five who brought oil and five who brought none. Don't look for the word extra, because it's not there. You see, this applies really to any judgment of God. He does say at the beginning, the kingdom of heaven shall be like 10 virgins. And it's interesting, when we looked at the 10 virgins, how many went out to meet the bridegroom? 10. How many fell asleep because he took so long to get there? 10. And by the way, that's part of the message here. It takes so long waiting. You sometimes think he's not going to come. Why is it taking so long? Why is this going on so long? I don't understand. Who'd have a wedding feast in the middle of the night? Shouldn't he be here by now? What's going on? I thought he'd arrive already. Why isn't he here? All 10 were waiting so long for the coming of the blessed one, of the coming of the one they're excited about. They fell asleep. There's not much in the story, and you can read and read and look and slice and read and read. There's not much in the story about it being a bridegroom and it being 10 wedding, you know, virgins. There's nothing you can do with that part of the analogy. But you can do something with the idea that they all cared. They were all looking for him. They all wanted him to come. They all went to go for him. They all were excited when he came. They all were getting ready for him to be there, but only five of them were prepared. The text is clear. Five brought oil, five did not. What in the world does that mean? What does that mean? That five didn't bring oil. Jesus uses at the end a warning saying, I say to you, I do not know you. They called out, Lord, Lord, and he answered them, I do not know you. It harkens back to what we read in Matthew 7, right? And they will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name, etc., etc.? And he will say to them, I never knew you. So what's the difference? What's the difference? Well, as many times as we're given Christ as a light, and our job as to light be light for him, once you were darkness, but now you are light in Christ, Ephesians tells us. How do you get light? Well, it's interesting. Since I started this teaching, since I was teaching this 2 weeks ago, and today, I participated in a I'm half cert trained. By next Saturday afternoon, I will be cert trained. Do you know what that means? I forgot what it was. Community Emergency Response Team. And if I go to the coordinating lady in Wasilla, she can give me a photo ID and I'll get my own green cert vest. That's right. Oh, I feel like I used to be a safety patrol. I wanted to be safety patrol when I was a kid so much, and I got to wear the white thing, and you stood at the, helped kids get on the bus and all that stuff. I didn't get it for a long time, and finally I was safety patrol. So maybe I just want it for the green vest, but I don't think I'm going to sign up for that anyway. But Isaac and Adam and I are going through community emergency response team training. It came from Boy Scouts, Homeland Security thing. And it's for this very type of thing. It's for when the earthquake hits. It's for when the wildfire comes. It's for when the disaster of any sorts of a type, including biological disasters of grave illnesses or other dangers that could hit our society, and terrorism, that somebody in the community has an awareness of what to do. That and part of it is understanding fires. And last week we went through triage drills. We went through five different triage drills with a room full of injured people, and you had to decide whether or not they were going to get treatment immediate, none immediate, or delayed. None meant we don't expect you to make it. Fire requires heat and fuel and air, right? You take one of those away and you put the fire out. These women desired the bridegroom. They had some heat. They were in the environment of the bridegroom, maybe make that air, but they had no fuel. They had no fuel. Now, if it's the torch idea, maybe the torch lit for a second based on the residual, or it looked like it was going to light, and it's not staying lit. Our lamps are going out, they said. We need to soak them with fuel or fill them up with oil. You need to have Christ before judgment. You need to know him now is the message. There's a time at judgment in which you cannot change the way you've lived. You cannot change the way you've chosen. While they were there, while they were awake, and while they were sleeping, the five prepared virgins and the five unprepared virgins looked identical. They probably acted identical. It's like Jesus' warning earlier for those who called him Lord and called him Lord and did things in his name. And he says, I never knew you. It is those who pay attention to what the preparedness needs to be to know Christ. None of the ten knew when Christ would arrive. Did y'all see the headlines from last week that the end of the world is coming on? Did you hear that one? The end of the world is coming on May 21st. There's a group going around the country with a caravan of vehicles telling everybody that, rejoice, judgment day is coming May 21st, 2011. None of the ten virgins knew when the bridegroom was coming. Just leave it at that. He's very clear about that. None of them knew. The prepared ones didn't have any more information than the unprepared ones. What they had was readiness. What they had was a source, a fuel for the illumination, for the fire that they needed to be identified as His. And we think, you see, if it's not enough oil, if they didn't take extra oil, if that word is stuck back in there, then you look at the five prepared ladies and you go, what are you doing? Are you not going to share? What's wrong with you? These gals are going to be left in the dark unless you give them some oil. What's wrong with you? But if you say they didn't take any, and these gals came prepared, the message is they're asking for something they can't receive. It's not like they were sort of prepared, but just didn't have quite enough. That's not the way our relationship in Christ is. You're not sort of in Christ. You're not sort of prepared for the judgment. They were asking them to give something that cannot be transferred person to person. You cannot give someone else your faith. You cannot give someone else your relationship in Christ. The real message is when the Lord comes, there is no time then to get ready. There's no time to get ready. Hebrews 9 says, people are appointed to die once and then face judgment. Hebrews 9:27. We face death, or we face Christ. We face death and then Christ, or we just face Christ because He comes. And how magnificent to hear His welcoming words. And how anguishing. I cannot imagine hearing from Christ, I don't know you. The message of the ten virgins is one of readiness. And it was never a joke, but I brought these in last week. There's no pressure, there's no expectation. It's a whole lot more serious today after we've seen the horrible, awful, awful, horrible events in Japan. But here's a list for Alaskans, because we're a little bit different than the rest of the country of being prepared for a disaster. But here's a list of how to put a home disaster readiness kit together, and they're in the back if you want one for your family. That'll prepare you for some things, but it won't prepare you for Christ's coming. What prepares you for that is the obedience to the same teachings that were given the very first time anybody, when these men, these 12, were listening to Jesus, and then Peter had an opportunity to tell somebody. Peter had an opportunity to tell somebody who wanted to get ready, what do you do? And Peter said in Acts 2, verse 38, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call. That'll fill up your oil jar. The oil's carried in a separate jar than the lamp, but you got to be ready for the coming of our Christ, of our Lord. You can't get ready after you realize He's coming. He's come. It takes looking ahead and thinking and humbling yourself to know that there's nothing, 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 nothing even comes close to being ready for that. And how joyous it is to be able to be with him. And how awful it must be to hear the words, "I don't know you." If there's any here today who are ready to be baptized into Christ, we offer you that. If there's any other needs you have, please let us know while we stand and sing the song that David has selected.